So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, mighty God, for the truth that you have prepared for us today. We have ears to hear what you have to say to us. And we love you, Father, because you first loved us. You have loved us with your everlasting love. And underneath all, the Bible says, are your everlasting hands to hold our goings up and guide us in the way of victory and blessings and favor all our days. Thank you for doing it afresh today for every one of us here and all our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ at large. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Please underline that phrase in your Bible, let us hold fast our profession. God will not tell us to do something if it was not necessary. The reason God says hold fast is because there are things that would want you to give up. If there were no challenges that would want you or try to make you to give up on your profession of faith, literally, your confession of faith, your declaration of faith, if there are no challenges that would want you to give up on your journey of faith, God would not have put this kind of scripture in the Bible for us all. To hold fast means don't let go of it. No matter how many things try to make you loosen your grip on God's word, refuse to let go. Oh, everything else is saying to you, well, it's not going to work. You are not going to get this victory. You are not going to... you say to yourself, with God on my side, none can be against me. Oh, glory be to God. God who created the heavens and the earth is my Father. And he honors those who honor him. I'm going to stand my ground in faith until God shows himself up in my life and performs his word. That's the kind of faith Bible says. How many of us remember in 1 Peter chapter 5, how God tells us to deal with the devil? Did he just say, well, you resist the devil by just having your faith in place? No, he said, resist him by being steadfast. Key word there is steadfast. If we take that word out, we lose focus of what God says. Why do we need to be steadfast? Because the devil doesn't back down easily. You have to put pressure on him to let go. And so the only pressure you can put on the devil is to stand your ground in faith and refuse to quit, and thereby God sees your faith that it is well pleasing in his sight, and he moves all of heaven if he has to, just for you as an individual, to ensure you have the victory. The same God that moved Archangel Michael for one man called Daniel, who would not let go of God in prayer. God moved Archangel Michael to defeat the prince of Persia that was withstanding the answer to Daniel's prayer from coming across to him, just because Daniel persevered. You see, that's the key. He held on to God in prayer. He refused to quit. Day one, day two, day three, no answer. I'm not going to stop until I get it. And I'm sure if the answer hadn't come on the 21st day, Daniel would still have been praying. He would have prayed because he was a man of prayer. He would have prayed until he got it. He only stopped praying because the answer showed up on the 21st day. And eventually he got to know what was happening because God sent the answer on day one. But the devil withstood the angel that was bringing the answer to him. So hold fast to your faith in God. refuse to let go. Whatsoever the word of God says, you keep holding on to that. Forget about your human senses. Don't lean on your own human understanding. Make a choice to believe God. Because faith is simply believing God and acting upon His word like a true believer. When you believe the word of God, you show your faith, as James says, by your action. You can't say, I believe God will heal me, and then you are making your will because you think you might just die. What kind of faith is that one? Where's the works? If you believe God will heal you, and the GP says you only have 1 month left to live, and you really believe God, you are not going to make a will. You are going to say, praise God. 1 month after, I will still be alive, praising God. I will not die. I will live to declare the works of God in the land of the living. Ah, then God says that is genuine faith, and His power will back you up. You see, God is waiting on us as much as we say we are waiting on Him. He is waiting on us to give Him the faith that He wants. And then it backs us up with His power. Because when we are steadfast in faith, the devil is cut off. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Holding your shield of faith. Bible says, wherewith, you shall be able to quench all, not some. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Doesn't matter which way it turns up. You hold your shield of faith up. And you have the victory. God has guaranteed it. Because God will back you up where His word is concerned. The problem is we just let go too soon. Many of us get excited. Maybe when we hear the word of God. Or maybe we read it. And we find a scripture that promises us. You know, in the area of our need. We get excited. Oh, hallelujah. I found it. Praise God. Bible says by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. Oh, hallelujah. I expect to be healed. But 1 month later, you go back to the GP. The GP says it's getting worse. Oh, my. Your faith just goes out of the window. You don't even believe for healing anymore. Now you are downcast and depression comes in. Where's your faith now? Just one word of remind. How about the word of God? It's how the devil steals the word from us. Because the devil is not going to fold his hands and make you just ride on his to the way of victory. He's going to make it hard for you. But you have to fight the good fight of faith. Keep holding on to the word of God. Don't change your confession. If after 1 month you go to the GP and GP says it's getting worse, keep saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You see, that's how to hold fast to your confession, or your professional faith. Because you believe God, you are not leaning on your own human understanding. You are not believing the report of man. You are believing the report of God. God is greater than man. God who made the promise knows how to perform it. He is the miracle working God. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. But He needs our faith, you see. And that's where the devil fights us. In that area of faith. That's why the Bible says, hold fast. So say to your neighbor, hold fast to your faith in God. Don't let go of it, no matter the pressure. Amen. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that wonderful? Look at the great quality of our Savior, our high priest, Jesus Christ. He's been through what we are going through. So when it comes to experience, you know, in the world we talk about experience. When it comes to experience, nobody is more experienced than Jesus. Because there's no human being that has been tempted on every point like Jesus was. No human being was so tempted and was so put under pressure by the devil that he was sweating blood in prayer. I don't know about you, I haven't got to that stage yet. Maybe you sweated blood while you were praying because of the agony of the enemy's temptation. But Jesus went through all these things and passed the test. So if anyone can help anybody, it is Jesus Himself. He's been through it all. And he defeated the devil, disarmed him, triumphed over him, stripped him of his power. Oh, what else do we need to believe Jesus? He's done it all. So our faith in him will bring us the victory too. Hallelujah. Because he knows how to give us the victory in his name. And finally, verse 16, let us therefore, key word, therefore, in other words, reflecting on what we have been saying so far, let that truth inspire you to come to God in prayer. Oh, someone says, I have faith. I believe the word of God. Thank God for that. What are you doing with the word that you believe? You have to pray. Because Bible says in Ephesians 6 that having put on the whole armor of God and you've put on the shield, you put on everything. Now take the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit, and begin to pray. And don't pray for yourself alone. Pray for every saint. You see, God knows that we all have an adversary called the devil. We would attempt to come against us in various areas of life. So your prayer, my prayer, the prayer of every brethren is what God receives in heaven to back us all up with his power to prevail against the enemy. We have to pray. Say to your neighbor, you have to pray. It doesn't matter how much faith you have. Without prayer, your faith cannot give you the victory. Because God will give you the victory through your faith. Hallelujah. So we begin to see everything in context. Oh, we reflect on the fact that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and has gone back to heaven to sit at the right hand side of the Father in order to administrate the things of the kingdom pertaining to us as children of the kingdom, because that's what he's doing there at the right hand side of the Father. Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So thank God for that. But then he needs my faith to be able to say to the Father, hey Father, this is one of my sheep and it's obeying you, walking by faith to please you. And then the Father says, yes, angel saw, you take that to him. And if that angel couldn't pass through, Michael, arise and fight. You see what we are talking about? When we stand our ground in faith and refuse to quit, God will do everything possible to ensure we have the victory. How he will do it, we don't know many times. So don't try to figure it out. Just believe God. That's all. You can't tell him how to do it. He knows how to do it. Sometimes he does these things in uncommon ways. Because he is awesome. He knows how to do his work. Just believe. That's all. Hallelujah. So let us therefore come. How? Boldly. Hallelujah. That's where we are going today. Boldly. Hey, on Friday we shared that this boldness is not something you and I come up with in our own strength. This is not talking about human courage or human boldness, because all those things fail under pressure. It's talking about God's own boldness that he puts in you while you are waiting on him. It comes by the hand of the Holy Spirit. That's why in Acts chapter 4, which we looked at on Friday, the apostles had to pray for boldness when they were threatened. They've had experience of Pentecost. How come they didn't rely on that and say, well, Peter, John, James, remember that upper room experience? Remember how the fire came from heaven? Remember how the wind came? That mighty rush. Oh, wow, what a glorious experience. Hoo-hoo, hallelujah. Now they are threatening us. They don't even understand what we went through in that upper room. Let's just march on and show them that we are special people. They will all have been defeated. You don't march in your own strength. If God's strength is not there, you can't make it. Remember how Samson, when the strength had gone, he stood up, Bible says, shook himself. Thought the power was still there. And went against the Philistines. They plucked his eyes out. It's no joke. If God doesn't go with you in the battle, remember how the children of Israel will conquer Jericho. The mighty Jericho. But you see, they didn't conquer it in their strength, you see. Then they went after that to the next small town called Hai. Even they said, we don't need the whole army. Let's just take a few men. They are just a few men. We'll just run them over. But they were defeated and put to shame. And Joshua, the man of war, knew something was wrong. How can a small town defeat the people of God? That means God did not go in the battle with us. Because he knew where the victory was coming from. Not from the natural army, but God, the supernatural, going with the natural when the natural obey him. And then God showed him, well, I couldn't go because an accosting was in the camp. See the key? If God doesn't go with us, we can't do it. The boldness we are talking about is not our own boldness. Don't get up one day and say, well, I'm a bold man. I want to face the devil. I tell you, put you to shame. He will put you to shame like he put the seven sons of Sceva to shame. No, you go in the strength of the Lord. And the devil will see you afar and tremble because of the strength of God. You know what gave David the boldness to face Goliath? It wasn't human boldness. It was boldness that he got from God because he always waited on God. And he knew how God gave him strength to kill the lion and the bear. And he knew that God would give him that boldness and courage will be the one bringing down Goliath. And because he had the boldness of God, Bible says he ran towards Goliath. He didn't tiptoe to say, let me try and dodge so that he doesn't see me before I come upon him. I'll try and do like the lion will go stealthily. And then pounce suddenly on him before he knows I would have caught his neck. No, he made Goliath to see him as a little boy. And he ran towards him. See, all other people in Israel, including King Saul, were running away from Goliath. They were running in the opposite direction. But this little boy ran toward Goliath. He was the only one in all of Israel that could do that. See, we are not talking about natural boldness. Because he said, Goliath, you are coming against me summarily with all natural weapons. But I'm coming against you. In the name, you see the key? That's where my boldness is coming from. The Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So my boldness is coming from God. And so I run toward you, Goliath. Today is the end of your life. And true, Goliath came down. David did not need to fire two shots. One shot, because God knows how to hit the target. God is perfect. He knows just one shot that you need to bring the enemy down. You won't need to be beating so many and throwing punches all over the place like sometimes we do. But when God does it, that's the end. Hallelujah. So the boldness we are talking about comes from God. Now quickly, before we pray, two key things that we need to put in place for our boldness to then show up through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit in us is the spirit of boldness. Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but that of power, that of love, and of a sound mind. It's the spirit of boldness. It's the one that filled the early church in Acts chapter 4 when they prayed. Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's the one that ministered this boldness to us. But for him to do so, he needs us to have two key things in place. And that's what we find clearly with the early church. They understood these two things. They live by it. Every time, every moment, in every situation, and the Holy Spirit was always there to back them up. Number one, turn with me quickly, while we are still in Hebrews. Turn with me to chapter 10. Number one thing you need to put in place at all times for the Holy Spirit to back you up with boldness is your faith in the blood of Jesus. You see, you are not relying on your own self-righteousness. If our Bible says all our self-righteousnesses, they're like filthy rags in the sight of God. we think about the blood that redeemed us. The reason why we can enjoy the blessings of the kingdom is because of the price of redemption that was paid over us. So we must always remember the price of redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, before we look at Hebrews 10, perhaps it will be clearer for us if we look at Ephesians first, and then many of us will be able to understand that very well. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. Remember here in verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4 that we just read, Bible talks about we seeing that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has passed into the heavens for us. In other words, it's all about him. And it is because of him that we can come with boldness. But these two key things about him is what the Holy Spirit waits upon in your life and in my life to supply us with this boldness to have the victory over the enemy. We can then walk by faith until the end. When every other person is quitting, we'll still be standing there because the Holy Spirit is keeping us. We are not relying on our own selves anymore. We are relying on the power of God that never fails. Your strength will fail, my strength will fail, but God's strength never fails. That's why the Bible says it gives power to the faint in Isaiah 40. It can supply us with supernatural strength when our own strength is exhausted. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. But it needs these two things in my heart because he lives in me. And when he finds these two things, which bring me into humility under the hand of God, because the Bible says God resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. The Holy Spirit immediately will be activated in my life. And you find yourself running towards your giants, like David did, instead of running away from them. And all the giants will be falling down by the strength of God himself. Okay, Ephesians, let's look at that first. Oh, it's all about Jesus Christ. He is the high priest. And the faith that we have in him as our Savior. Let me just give you the 2 points and then we'll look at it. Number one, the faith that we have in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Number two, the faith that we have in the blood that saved us. The Savior saved us by a means. He did it by his blood. And that's what the Holy Spirit is waiting for, to bear witness to in your life every time. You have that in place. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. You are not relying on yourself. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And the Holy Spirit is here to glorify Christ. So when he sees that your heart is set on Jesus, even in this area of your need, the Holy Spirit is ready. And then your heart is set on the blood of Jesus that purchased the redemption. So it has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Christ. And then the Holy Spirit goes into operation to give you the boldness that you need to stand in that place of faith and hold fast onto that faith until the victory shows up. Hallelujah. You never back down. You never give up. Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful for all that you have done for us. For the sake of time, I'll encourage you, you read it from verse 1 when you get home. But look at verse 12. Or better still, let me pick it for the sake of context. I'll pick it from verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So God is going to show even those wicked spirits in heavenly places his wisdom that he reserved for the church. That you and I can walk in the same victory that Jesus walked in over them. And the devil knows these things more than many of us as Christians. He knows that when we stand our place in faith, there's absolutely nothing he can do. Because Jesus already defeated him, and we are standing in the strength of God, we will have the victory. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember, it's only about Christ. Forget about yourself. Forget about any human being. Forget about any arm of flesh. Christ and Christ alone. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. How? By the faith of him. By the faith of him. Now we begin to see why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. No wonder this same Paul said, none of these things move me. No wonder everything the devil brought against Paul, none of those things shook him. Many of us go through little things today, we are shaking. But Paul went through much, he wasn't shaking. Why? Because he understood what we are sharing this morning. That it's all by the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, devil, you can come against me, but I'm standing in the faith of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I will defeat you. The same way David said, I come against you in the name. See the key? My faith is in God, the commander of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He will bring you down for me. That's a paraphrase. You may not have strength to defeat the enemy that has come against you in any area of life. But God has the strength. So you release your faith in Jesus. The name above all names. The name at whose mention every knee bows. The devil has no choice but to bow. Because of the authority of Jesus Christ that you are standing on through your faith in him. Don't have faith in yourself. Don't have faith in any ability that you think you have, even as a Christian. If you think you are a prayer warrior, don't have faith in your ability to pray. Because you may be found wanting on the day of battle. No. You have faith in the God who answers prayer, rather than your own ability to pray. Because the moment we focus on ourselves, the devil will get us. Because we are in the flesh. Self is about flesh. Every attention has to be on God and God alone. None of self, all of God. Total humility. And that will remove every boasting from every one of us. Because we realize if God doesn't come through for us, there's nothing we can do. And that honors God and activates the Holy Spirit in us to help us. So, faith, again, faith in Jesus the Savior, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So when we walk in that, the Holy Spirit is ready in us to move and glorify Christ, in whose strength we are standing. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. So two key things again. Faith in Jesus Christ. Keep that going. Hold fast to it. Forget about yourself. Look unto Jesus and Jesus alone, the author and the finisher of your faith. When the devil says you are not going to gain the victory, you tell him, go and say that to Jesus. I'm not standing in my strength. I'm standing in the strength of Jesus. And if you think I'm not going to have victory in this situation, you go and say that to Jesus, devil. And the devil will shut his mouth for once. Because he knows he can't go and say anything to Jesus. He always remembers how Jesus bruised his head. It's time for us to begin to let the devil know that it's not about us, it's about Jesus. If he has any issue with us, he should go and talk to Jesus. Then he will leave us alone for a season. And when he comes next time, we do exactly the same thing. And he will go and leave us again for a season. Oh, it's not by your strength, it's not by my strength, it's not by our power. It is by Christ and Christ alone and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who is here to glorify Jesus. When we do anything that will glorify Christ, the Holy Spirit will back us up to the very end. But if we want the glory for ourselves, forget it. The Holy Spirit is not involved in that. He won't get involved. If I'm going to do it and then come and boast to everybody. Oh, ha, ha, ha. I fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, I went to Mount Horeb to pray. Then I moved from Horeb. I went on Sinai. I climbed in the strength. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Shandaya. Ha, hey, hey. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, all right then. Oh, God have mercy. And then the day you face the enemy in battle, he will bring you down. And everybody will say, ah, what happened to Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb experience that you had? Well, You went in your strength. You can't make it. We're in the strength of the Lord. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Glory be to God. All right, let's look at this and then close. Thank God, thank God. Hebrews chapter 10. So you put these two things in place in your heart at all times. Whether you have a need or not, let these two truths register deep in your heart. In every situation in your life, you remind yourself, it's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ. My faith in him, who is my Savior, and my faith in the price he paid for my salvation. No devil can withstand those two things in your life. All of them will bow. All the demons of hell will bow, because the blood overcomes them. That's the blood that was paid for your redemption. They can't hold you back. And the name of Jesus subdues them, because Jesus already defeated them for you. So you go in those two, the Holy Spirit in you will rise up immediately. Give you the boldness to stand your ground in faith until the victory shows up. You can keep going, and everyone is saying, well, you are calling yourself Abraham. Where is any son to show? You are saying you are father of many. You don't even have anyone to show. Praise the Lord. Abraham. Hallelujah. Here I come. Father of many nations. You will soon see them. They will be as the stars of heaven, as God showed me. Hallelujah. Glory. Did they understand that? Or Noah building an ark, everybody calling him a fool. What's this man doing? Oh, Tony wasting his time. What does he want to do with this thing? Look at him. Every day we hear him with hammer. Going, bah, 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 bah. Doesn't he have any job to do? Who says that? But when the flood came, they knew that that man was wise all along. Because he was obeying God, you see. He could hear what they couldn't hear. He could see what they couldn't see. Because his eyes were upon God, the author and the finisher of his faith. That's how you do. When you begin to focus on Christ, you will see things others don't see. You will hear things others can't hear. Because you are focusing on the realm where authority rules and reigns over all of creation. He created all things. All things are subject to him. Hallelujah. Hebrews. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So get ready to pray. I tell you, when you understand these things, even your prayer life will change. You are no longer struggling. Because it's not about you. You begin to pray like Jesus was praying while he was here on earth. Father, I thank you, always hear me. Because he wasn't relying on himself. He said, the works that I do, it's not I that do them, but the Father in me. His faith was in the Father. Absolutely. And that was why the Father backed him up. And ensured he had the victory throughout. That's the same way it is going to be for you and I, the body of Christ. Jesus just came to show us the example. Hebrews chapter 10. So get ready this morning, no matter what your need may be, the boldness to go and get that need met before God. You put it in place in your heart and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. How do you get the boldness to be able to come into the very presence of God? By your own goodness? By your own self-righteousness? No. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. So I need help from God. I come by the blood of Jesus. I don't look to myself as meriting anything or deserving anything that I want to get from God on my own, but I deserve these things and I merit them because of the blood of Jesus that justified me and made me righteous in the sight of God. So the Father will give to me exactly as he will give to Jesus because of the blood that he shed for me. And that's the boldness we have before God. The Father, I have come by the blood of Jesus Christ to receive what he purchased for me by that blood. The Father says, yes, it cannot be denied. Because the blood is right before me here in heaven. I can see the blood before the mercy seat. And the blood is speaking exactly like you are speaking, and therefore have it. But many of us go in our own strength, you see. I'm an intercessor, a great warrior. Okay, then go. Go in your strength. Oh Lord, you'll be like Saul with all his armor and he couldn't go in battle and he wanted to give David the same thing. David said, I haven't tried this. You, in other words, my paraphrase, if this thing could give you victory, how come you haven't used it? Forget about Cana. I don't need Cana. I need supernatural strength to bring Goliath down. God never fails. So we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest. Again, you see that? An high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. No doubt at all. Oh, this will help your faith to be solid and well pleasing in the sight of God, and the Holy Spirit will back you up. Because you are standing on the blood of Jesus, coming by the blood of Jesus. When the devil says, well, how do you think God will hear your prayer when this morning while you are driving down the road, remember that person that drove and got in front of you, you are angry with him and you spoke some bad word out of your mouth against him. And then you think God will listen to your mouth in prayer? He just condemn you. And if you didn't know the truth, you will lose confidence in the presence of God. But because you know the truth, say, shut up, devil. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from the unrighteousness. I have boldness to go before God. And he will hear me because of the blood. Thank God for that. Let's stand up this morning. No matter what your need may be, just lift your hands to God. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Open that before your eyes as you pray. Because Bible says there is grace to help us in the time of need. It doesn't matter what the need may be. Any kind of need. Spiritual, emotional, physical, material, family need, relational need, career need, need on your job, need in your business, need in any area of your life. God simply says there is grace to help in the time of need when we come the right way. Because we are going to find the first thing the blood did for us. See again, mercy. Because that blood is before the mercy seat. There's an heavenly tabernacle, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews. So when God told Moses to make the tabernacle on earth, he made it after the pattern in heaven. The high priest here on earth will go once in a year into the Holy of Holies. He only went once in, and he went with blood. But now the blood of Jesus has come. He shed it once for all, Bible says. He doesn't need to come every year to shed his blood. Aaron had to go every year with the blood of bulls and goats. But Jesus shed the blood once for all. That's why you can release your faith in the blood at all times. And it will work for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy. That's the first thing you're going to get because of the blood. Mercy. If you don't have mercy, you can't receive anything from God. Mercy through the blood. And then grace to help in the time of need. Father, we thank you this morning for your truth that lives and abides forever. We stand before you in simple, childlike faith, humbling ourselves under your hand. To come to you, no matter what the need may be in our lives and in the lives of our fellow brethren, in this church and in the body of Christ this day. We have boldness, dear Father, to come. Because he said we should come boldly. And our boldness is in the faith of Jesus Christ, which we have as Christians, and in the blood of salvation that he shed for us. So, Father, we thank you that you hear everyone's petition and everyone's supplication and everyone's intercession here today and in your body everywhere in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And as you promised, you grant your mercy to every one of us and you supply the grace that we need to meet every need in our lives. Thank you for the supply as we cry to you in Jesus' name. First and foremost, you talk to God based on your need. It doesn't take more than a few seconds when we have this faith in our heart. Remember, your boldness before God is because of Jesus Christ, your faith in him as a Christian. And secondly, the blood of redemption that is shed for you so that you might become a partaker of the blessings of the kingdom of God. And now you can ask God to give you what you need. If God has promised it in his word, because the word of God is ratified by the blood of Jesus. Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Every scripture here is ratified by the blood. And if you will believe accordingly, God will grant them to you. The Holy Spirit will manifest them in your life. So go ahead, talk to God. And then we are praying after that in agreement for the benefit of everyone in the church of Jesus Christ. But you talk to God individually first on your need, and I believe everyone else in the church of Jesus is crying to God also for help at one time or the other, in one situation or another. Glory to God. If you have spoken to God about your need, again, in your heart, you are saying to God, I come to you by the faith of Jesus Christ, my Savior, and I come by the blood that is shed for me. And Father, I thank you that from the throne of grace where you are seated, you release your mercy upon me and you supply me with the grace to meet my need. For you will get all the glory, O God. I'm not getting any of it. All the glory is yours. Because I'm getting the help all because of Jesus Christ, not because of me. And so, Father, to you be all the glory. And to Jesus Christ, your Son, and your Holy Spirit, my helper. And if you said that, just thank him. Someone says, is it that simple? Oh, yes. Bible says we should not let anyone beguile us from the simplicity that is in Christ. Jesus did all the works. He finished everything. God is not asking you to do any extra work, but to believe. And faith brings us into rest. Not into struggle, no, into rest. Where we allow God and God alone to do what he has promised to do so that he alone may get the glory. None of self, all of him. Lift your hands to him and thank him personally. And if you've done that now, please repeat after me so we can pray corporately for the whole body of Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand before you today in the behalf of your church, your saints, as you said in your word. We obey your voice. We put on your old armor. And we watch in prayer for every saint everywhere. We come boldly by the faith of Jesus Christ and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your mercy upon everyone in your church everywhere today. And we believe you for grace to meet every need in everyone's life in your church at this point in time. In the name of Jesus Christ, precious Holy Spirit, thank you for ministering help to every one of us in the church of Jesus Christ today, in Jesus' name.